Yes, Mr. Speaker. They told me that you and Carl wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, we got Wilbur Mills here, Wilbur Cohen.
Well,
here's Wilbur. You want to talk with Wilbur Mills?
All right.
Wait a minute, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Hi, Wilbur.
How you feeling?
Fine. Good to hear from you.
We wound up, and I got instructions. We'll introduce the bill at noon tomorrow and report it at 12:15. Be very briefly doing so. I wanted to let Wilbur Cohen, if you would take a minute, to give you his reaction to it.
Fine, Wilbur.
I think we've got you something that we won't only run on in 66, but we'll run on from hereafter.
Wonderful. Thank you, Wilbur.
Now, here's Wilbur Cohen.
When are you going to take it up?
I've got to go to the Rules Committee next week.
You always get your rules pretty quick, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
we could have it on late next week, probably.
Thank you.
If
thank
not
you.
Early the following week.
God's sake, let's get it before Easter.
No doubt about that. It's going
What they do, and you've got two or three little measures that you might not take too long on that give us trouble. They make a poll every Easter. They've been doing it 30 years, you know it. And what has Congress accomplished up to then? Then the rest of the year, they use that record to write editorials about. So anything that we can grind through before Easter will be twice as important as after Easter. So much obliged to you.
Two things I hope we can do. George Ball and Rusk are very anxious about this international coffee agreement.
Coffee, it's...
That is the next.
Right.
And then immediately following that is this correction of the tariff schedule and reclassification for purposes of this present round of negotiations.
That's right. Do you have a little on the Canadian auto thing?
Yes, that bill has not been forwarded to us yet. It hadn't been up until yesterday.
All right, well, I'll
get come immediately following.
That's good. That's those little ones. Anything we can do, and I sure do congratulate you on getting this now, because they'll work on us the rest of the year, and this will be helpful and look like good. Let me talk to Wilbur.
All right.
I congratulate you and thank you.
Let me ask you one more.
Yeah.
Did Jack Valenti talk to you the other day about this damn thing that I asked him to talk to you about that embarrassed the hell out of me?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yes, right. Yeah, that's good.
Well,
good.
I'd
forget
that. I hadn't said anything.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I think it's a great bill, Mr. President.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. I think you got not only everything that you wanted, but we got a lot more than on this thing. It's a real comprehensive bill.
How much does it cost my budget over what we estimate?
Well, I think it would be around, I'd say, $450 million more than what you estimated for the net cost of this supplementary program.
Now, what do they do under that? How is that handled? Explain that to me again, over and above the King Anderson, this supplementary you stole from Burns.
Yes. Well, generally speaking, it's physician services.
Physicians?
Yes, in the office.
All right, now my doctor that I go out and he pumps my stomach out to see if I got any ulcers, is that physician?
That's right.
Or any medical services that are MD services?
Any MD services. Now.
All right, now how do we know, what does he charge what he wants to?
No, he can't quite charge what he wants to because this has been put in a separate fund.
Yeah.
And what the Secretary of HEW would have to do is make some kind of agreement with somebody like Blue Shield,
yeah,
let's say, and it would be their responsibility, under the way the chairman has provided the bill, that they would regulate the fees of, in effect, of the doctor.
Yeah.
What he tried to do is to be sure that the government wasn't regulating the fees directly.
That's
it didn't deal with the individual doctor. And the bill provides that the doctor could only charge the reasonable charges, but this intermediary, the Blue Shield, would have to do all the policing so that the government wouldn't have its long hand.
All right, that's good. Now, what does it do for you, the patient, on doctors? It says that you can have doctor's bills paid up to what extent or how much or any limit?
The individual patient has to pay the first $50 deductible,
uh-huh,
and then he's got to pay 20%.
Of everything after that?
Everything after that. So if you went to the doctor and you had a $1,000 bill, you'd pay the first $50, and then for the other $950, you'd have to pay 20% of that.
But that keeps your hypochondriacs out.
That keeps the hypochondriacs out. At the same time, for most of the people, it would provide the overwhelming proportion of their physician's costs.
Yes, sir, and it's one something that nearly everybody could endure. They could borrow that much, or their folks could get them that much to pay their part, and even if they didn't have any money. Now, what does it get you on hospital and nurses' home under the King Anderson
Act? Well, under the King Anderson card, you get the first 60 days of your hospital care with a $40 deductible.
$40.
Finally compromised on $40,
that's good.
Mr. President.
That's good.
And then, in addition, it has the three other benefits that were in your bill, namely the home health services, the outpatient diagnostic, and we fixed that amendment up the way, the Mayo brothers talked to you and me about. And then the only one change was for the home health services. That has to be after you get out of the hospital.
That's good. All right. Now, what are the insurance companies? Are they still raising hell mad?
Yes, I think they're going to go over to the Senate and raise hell on the thing, because quite frankly, there's no longer any room for the private insurance companies to sell insurance policies for people over 65 when you take the combination of hospital care and the physician service.
Yeah, okay. I think that's wonderful. Now, remember this, 9 out of 10 things that I get in trouble on is because they lay around. And tell the Speaker and Wilbur to please get a rule just the moment they can.
They want to bring it up next week, Mr.
Yeah,
President.
But you just tell them not to let it lay around. Do that. They want to, but they might not. Then that gets the doctors organized. Then they get the others organized. And I've damn near killed my education bill letting it lay around.
Yeah.
It stinks. It's just like a dead cat on the door. When a committee reports it, you better either bury that cat or get it some life in it.
The Speaker is saying to me, he says he's way ahead of you, Mr. President. He's going to get that on the House calendar next week and get it going the doctors...
Well, congratulations to you. Now, let me talk to Carl if he's there.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
How's little John?
All right, I think they've told you the whole story.
Well, that's mighty good. You're mighty wonderful.
It's all right.
Get them, Carl, get them to make y'all... Talk to John, y'all talk to old man Smith, and make him not let this stuff lay around until they can generate opposition to us.
All right. Yes, sir. Just a minute. Wilbur wants to talk over Mr. Mills.
Mr. President, don't you worry 1 minute about these doctors and insurance companies organizing against this bill.
Yeah.
Now, we have written the insurance people, I must admit, completely out of the field of people over 65.
Yeah.
But the AMA is going in all directions.
Yeah.
I have even had them, just in confidence, come to me at the last minute telling me they would accept the payroll tax if we'd use it to finance our program with the state administering it. Well, you couldn't have that.
No.
But they've come a long, long way, and they're going in all directions. Now, the insurance people are going to oppose it. There's no doubt about that. They were going to oppose H.R. 1. They were going to oppose anything we did. But they've got no more to oppose with respect to what we've got in this bill than they would have fought for anyway without what we've done. The only thing I'm concerned about, and I'm very frank about it, is that there's about $450 million in this bill out of the general funds of the Treasury for which you haven't budgeted your situation.
Yeah, but I'll take care of that. I'll do that. You see what I've done. Wilbur, this will not hold for the rest of the year, but the first 8 months, by constant cabinet pressure, by withholding and just threatening and ultimatum and being meaner than you or Harry Byrd, I am under, this year, the first 8 months, $1.8 billion, under what you appropriated and what I said I'd spend. Now, I think that I'll at least get down to where I'll be $400-500 million under that. That's number one. Number two, my deficit in the budget I sent you in January is $1 billion under my deficit last year. And I've reduced the deficit, $1 billion. Now, I think that we can, when they asked me about, said you want to put in $400-500 million. What did I say about it? And I said, well, you tell him we had an old judge in Texas one time. We called him Al Cowley, old Al Cowley Roberts. And he said, when they talked to him one time, they might have used the Constitution, he said, well, what's the Constitution between friends? And I say, tell Wilbur that $400 million is not going to separate us friends when it's for health, when it's for sickness, because it's a greater demand, and I know it. And for this bill than all of my other program put together. Now, I know that. And it'll last longer.
Mr. President, if you'll talk to Mr. Ackley and also to Mr. Gordon, they came to see me, and I, too, was concerned about the impact of the tax beginning January.
Yeah, we are worried about that, because it takes so much.
We minimized the concern that they had initially. Right. We've revised our rates more in keeping with their views, and I think they're completely satisfied now.
Right. What they wanted me to do, most of the spenders, said that I was not putting enough money in the economy, and I'd have to put $3 or $4 billion in, accelerate public works and other things, and I'd cut down. Now they come along and they say, well, you're taking a lot more out here now, and you're not pumping anything back, you're going to get in trouble. I said, well, you all go see Mills yourself and talk to him and find some agreement, and I'm willing to go on anything that you all go on.
We've agreed and we've changed the bill now to conform to their line of thinking.
Well, I'll get out a statement and congratulate the committee and congratulate you, and for God's sakes, don't let dead cats stand on your porch. Mr. Rayburn, you say they stunk and they stunk and they stunk. When you get one out of that committee, you call that son of a bitch up before they can get their letters written.
Do you know that's the way I practice?
I sure do. I know where you learned it.
We're building
let me talk to the speaker now.
Yeah, all right, here's the speaker. Thank you, sir.
Well, that's mighty good. Now, don't you let that dead cat hang around, make them give you a rule, because Mr. Rayburn, you say, and the dead cat got out of the committee report, it started stinking every day, and let's get it passed before they get the letters in, and we'll have a damn good record, because that sounds like a better bill, John, than we sent you.
Yeah.
Doesn't it to you?
It does to me, yeah.
I told them $450 million. You know, my philosophy and yours, you and I never argued about $450 million for people over 65, did we?
No. By the way, humanities are involved.
Okay, my friend.
All right, Mr. President.
Well, John.